Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and our study is a construction site tour, the tabernacle in the wilderness. In this session, we'll be looking at Exodus chapter 30, verses 17 to 21, a reflection for self-judgment. Let's take a look at those verses, Exodus chapter 30, beginning with verse 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, saying, "You shall make a laver of bronze with its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it in between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it for Aaron and his sons to wash their hands and their feet in water from it. When they go into the tabernacle of meeting or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die, and it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generations." The cross, that is the starting place of salvation. It was pictured in the altar of sacrifice. Every believer is justified by faith on the basis of the shed blood of Christ and his death and resurrection. That settles your salvation for eternity. But that is only the beginning. Salvation begins at the cross, but it surely does not end there. In the courtyard beyond the altar, still before the tent of meeting, there is another piece of furniture. The laver of cleansing, a water basin on a pedestal in front of the tent made of brass filled with water. What is its function? It is to continually wash the hands and feet of the priests as they ministered in the service and the worship of the tent. At the altar, the priests were justified by the blood of the sacrifice. And at the laver, they were repeatedly cleansed from the defilement of the world. The altar pictures justification. The laver pictures sanctification by the power of the Word of God. Sanctification is the continual cleansing of the Christian. Let me give you four truths regarding the believer's cleansing. First of all, the cleansing of the believer is a personal responsibility. The laver was made of brass and filled with water. In Scripture, brass speaks of the judgment of God, and water is symbolic of the Word of God. It's here that the defilement of sins committed by believers is dealt with. The laver speaks of separation from the world. The wash basin was made of brass. But what brass was used to make it? Good question. Exodus chapter 38 and verse 8. He made the laver of bronze and its base of bronze from the bronze mirrors of the serving women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Mirrors carried from Egypt. Mirrors of highly polished brass that reflect the natural features, that reveal the glorification of the flesh, that respect the vanity and the pride of humanity. You know, a woman walking past a window often will stop to look at herself. And she will take out a mirror to arrange her hair, powder her face, paint her lips, and adjust her clothing, even out in public. Vanity. James chapter 2, verse 21. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The women of Israel had to surrender their mirrors to make the laver in self-judgment of their sins and worldliness. They had to die to their self and its vanity. The laver contained water, the Word of God. John chapter 15, verse 3. You are already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you. John 17, 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Cleansing is a personal responsibility. And second, the cleansing of the believer is a limitless opportunity. The labor had no size or dimensions provided in Scripture. Why? Well, maybe it's symbolic of its limitless regular application. Cleansing every time the priest was defiled. Cleansing every time he came to the altar or tent. Peter's question of Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21-22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I did not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 7. So it's a personal responsibility. It's a limitless opportunity. And third, the cleansing of the believer is a constant priority. There were no floors and no chairs in the tabernacle. A priest's feet were always on the ground. So he became defiled with every step he took. Even in service to the Lord. He was continually defiled and in need of cleansing. God only uses clean vessels. And believers are vessels of the Holy Spirit's work. Believers are in Christ, but still in this world of defilement and sin. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How often can we come for cleansing? As often as cleansing is necessary. Believers are continually defiled by sin, so believers must continually seek God's cleansing. So it's a personal responsibility, a limitless opportunity, a constant priority, and then fourth, the labor of the cleansing of the believer is a special necessity. The labor was made to cleanse the feet and hands only. Our hands picture service and our feet picture conduct, walking. Those washed at the cross by the blood of Christ are clean from guilt and the penalty of sin forever. But God requires believers to serve and walk clean. The experience of Paul in the upper room. The experience of Peter in the upper room. John 13, beginning with verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." At regeneration, salvation, we are washed clean positionally. Never, never, never to be repeated. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing and regeneration, washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. But daily we must wash the defilement of sin." Proverbs 28, verse 13. "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." You think about that and have a great day.